I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello again, and welcome to the Three Inning Save podcast. I'm your host, Eric Steven. Have a special episode today because with me is Chris Willis of Battery Power at SB Nation. We are going to preview the Dodgers versus the Braves. They're playing four games at Dodger Stadium this weekend. And I'm pretty sure, although we said this last year as well, this is going to be the National League Championship Series this year for the third time in 4 years. So what better way to sort of preview the series than to have Chris on? Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Eric. How are you?
All right. Yeah, this should be a fun series. It seems like the Dodgers and Braves have pretty much separated themselves from like the rest of the National League. Although, like I would have said that last year. I know the Mets were really good last year too. We can talk about how they're not good this year, which is funny. But like, and then obviously, you know, things happen and they didn't meet in the NLCS. But like, yeah, they're really good this year. So like, I don't know. Like, the one thing I was not shocked, but like every once in a while, I'll just look at like the Brave stats or something and just like what the hell, like how, like, but the one thing that stood out to me today, I was looking, they're slugging as we're recording this 500 on the dot, exactly 500 as a team. Like, what the hell, how is this happening, Chris? What's going on?
I mean, it's been unbelievable to watch. And I mean, when you consider just how good, I mean, this offense has been so good that they've basically overcome not having Max Fried for a huge porn of the season, Kyle Wright, who won 20 games last year, you know, for a length that he's still not back. He's on rehab. But this offense has just been unbelievable, and it's 1-9. And that's the thing. I mean, you've seen good offenses before, but I don't know that we've seen offenses that are this deep. Like 7, 8, 9 can really hurt you in a lot of ways. I mean, Sean Murphy was hitting 7th last night, so – I think it's an historic offense.
Yeah.
And we'll just have to see if it carries over, you know, once we get to October.
I think on Fangraphs entering today, WRC plus again as a team 125, which is like absurd. Like if you're in like the get to like 120, you're like in that like all time ish type neighborhood, and they're like 125. So like, yeah, they're doing really good. I was wondering about this too. Like you mentioned, you know, sort of missing a lot of like pitchers and like the offense overcoming. That's what the Dodgers have done this year in a weird way. Coming into the season, I thought the pitching was going to carry what was going to be like a subpar offense, and it's been like the exact opposite for the most part. So the offense has been really, really good. Although, like, there's some like holes, you know, and like I think they kind of shored that up a little bit at the trade deadline. It was weird. Their two big additions at the trade deadline were Kike Hernandez and Ahmed Rosario, who were like not doing particularly well, like in Boston and Cleveland, but both of them like hit lefties like over their career. Ahmed Rosario was hitting lefties this year too. He still has since joining the Dodgers. And then like Kike has just kind of sort of revitalized himself a little bit, but like, so now they have a little more complete roster. They're doing more of the mixing and matching this year. Like outside, they have like, you know, probably 4 to 5 lineup like regulars, and then everyone else is like mix and match. But I think it's a little better. Like they were before the trade deadline, like late in games, they were pinch hitting like Miguel Rojas and Austin Barnes against like, you know, when they needed a right-handed batter. So that was a little bit of a problem, but. Now that's been like working out, but then what the Dodgers have done like recently, like we're at the end of August now, but pretty much since the trade deadline, their pitching has stabilized. They were terrible in June. The starting pitching was, they had like 3 rookies going. Clayton Kershaw didn't pitch at all in July. He's back. They traded for Lance Lynn, who had a 6.47 ERA. And then, but they just like needed him to eat innings. He's done that and like pitched better. And so like the pitching is kind of stabilized, and then the offense is still hitting. So like they're just playing out of their minds right now. But like, yeah, it's been a weird year. I'll say.
Yeah. And I mean, the Braves are kind of the anti form of that, in that their starters start and they play every single day. And, I mean, basically, if you look at this Braves lineup, you know, they're basically alternating Travis d'Arno and Sean Murphy every other day. Kevin Pillar starts against a right-hander for Eddie Rosario. But other than that, it's pretty much everybody's in there every single day. And, you know, it's – you just hope that they don't wear down. But at the same time, I think that's one reason for all of this offensive explosion, because those guys are out there every time.
For sure. And they're productive too. Like it's not like they're running guys out there who are just like so-so, you know, like they're all hitting. Like even like I know before the year, it seemed like only watching like Braves Twitter from afar, it seemed like Orlando Arcia, they're like, what? He's going to be the shortstop? And then like, he made the All-Star team. And I know like part of that was like, you know, fans were like sort of flooding, but he was like legitimately good, like to make it. So like, it's really good. Like,
yeah. I mean, I was pretty much wrong about Orlando Arcia. You know, I wasn't excited about that move. And I mean, you look at this today and he's got 110 weighted runs created plus, and that's the lowest in their starting lineup. Eddie Rosario recently passed him. So he's had an unbelievable year, you know, and has really kind of stepped in there and solidified that spot, you know, after losing Dansby Swanson, because that was one of the big, you know, one of the big fears you had coming into this season was how shortstop was going to play out, you know. So
that's wild. Like, I think this like little, like, I don't know, it's, I guess it's a 7-ish year run now for the Dodgers, where they started to get like really good was when they just sort of tried to eliminate as many like easy outs in the lineup as possible. So like if they can get like even league average, like in a spot in the lineup. You're doing, if that's your worst spot, like you said, a 110 WRC plus is like is crazy as your ninth best hitter. Like, you know, that's why the Braves are doing so well. So you mentioned, so Kevin Pillar was on, he's like from Southern California. He was on the Dodgers last year, but only for like four games. And then he broke his shoulder on a slide. Mm-hmm. Like it was a weird play. And then he tried to come back for the postseason and wasn't quite ready. So he didn't, and then he's there. But I also noticed the other day, I think I noticed this via Instagram. I'd forgotten, but like Luke Williams is also on your bench right now. And he briefly played for the Dodgers. He even pitched in a game. That he's one of the, like, I think the Dodgers are at 38 pitchers so far this year. He's one of them. So,
yeah, he's in that what I like to call the ceremonial Charlie Culberson spot.
And, that's right.
You know, that 26th guy has hardly played for the Braves. It was something ridiculous. I mean, like, I'm not sure that roster spot's got 10 games played this season. Which is wild when you look at that. Yeah, it is. It's amazing that a team can get this far, but that's kind of where, with the DH, you know, Braves just don't pinch hit anymore. I mean, right. Eddie Rosario is about the only, if there's a lefty comes into the game late, Pillar will hit for him, but very mm-hmm. seldom, you know, very seldom outside of Travis d'Arnaud, they don't pinch hit that often, which is, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing. I mean, we would prefer the league to change the rule where you could carry 14 pitchers and just eliminate sure. that last roster spot. But, you know, I mean, it's weird. They've employed these guys that really just haven't played much at all.
Yeah, I was shocked like a month ago or whatever it was when I think it was maybe the first time Charlie Culberson got designated for assignment. And then I just, because I remember looking, I'm like, oh, I didn't realize he was on the Braves because he hadn't played. It was like right. he was literally active for like a month without playing. That seems impossible. Like, how does yeah. that even happen?
Yeah. He had one plate appearance, got an infield single. So if I'm not mistaken, he's still batting 1,000 for the year.
I say, yeah. even he's hitting 1,000 for the Braves. Yeah. Everything's going well. So I was looking at this the other day. I didn't check yesterday. We're recording this Wednesday. I'm assuming the Braves are pushing Spencer Strider to start the opener in LA, right? Is that right?
They're pushing him back. He would have been in line to start Wednesday night in Colorado, but they're pushing him back. And they haven't exactly announced the order, but I think it's going to be Strider, Freed, Elder, and Morton.
So yeah, that's solid. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're going to, they're lining it up to send their best pitchers against in that series. So, you know, I think it's going to be fun. It's just, you know, hopefully a playoff preview. I know you and I made plans last year and then we both ended up right. early vacations, but
that's right. But I will say the sleep was good. It was a good sleep after the season ended. So, no, the Dodgers are in the same boat. So they have one more game against the Diamondbacks, and they're using Ryan Pepio, who is right now their fifth starter, and then so they should be the top four in the rotation right now. Lance Lynn will be first, and then Julio Urias, and then Bobby Miller, the Dodgers like rookie who's been really good like lately, I think, and then Clayton Kershaw Sunday. So like it should be it's like pretty much all you could ask for a like a series like this, like basically the two best teams in the National League you know playing for four games should be pretty fun.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, I think Miller made his major league debut in Atlanta in yeah. that series, and what I remember about that series was just Freddie Freeman was huge that whole
oh god,
you know, that whole series. He had a great series at Truist Park. We kind of joked about it, you know, he got a standing ovation when he came out, and then he beat him that night with a homer, and I'm not sure he got as quite as good an ovation, you know, yeah. the rest of the way. But you know, I mean, when I look at the series, I mean, it's just like you said, it's the NL's heavyweights. You know, you mm-hmm. got probably the top four in the MVP chase, all in this one series. So you know, I don't want to draw too many conclusions out of it. You know, I don't anticipate a sweep from either side. You know, but if it does happen, you know, you don't want to weight it too much just because you never know what's going to happen in the postseason. But to me, this is the two, probably the two best teams in the majors, American League included.
Yeah, like I know super earlier in the year, like the Rays had such a good record. Like they were like that crazy start. They're still up there, but like not quite. The Rangers were up there, the Orioles. But like, you're right. I think these might be the two best teams in the majors going right now. Cause even like the Orioles, I think, they are a half game up on the Dodgers right now to sort of eliminate the, you know, making it official. But like, even like their pitching is like suspect a little bit, like, you know, but still like we're splitting hairs at this point. But like you say, it's hard to draw too much conclusions from the series, like, because both teams, the Braves have a 12.5 game lead in the East. The Dodgers have a 13.5 game lead in the West. It's like, you know, the divisions are over. Like, it's just a matter of like, you know, sort of, you know, seeding at this point. Like, it's like, who's going to get one? I know four games. The Braves are up four games on the Dodgers right now. So like, who knows? But like it matters. I will say, you know, we saw like in 2021, because the Dodgers were the wild card behind the Giants, right. and then they lost the first two on walk offs at home or in Atlanta. I mean, that just said it. But also, like, I think for the Dodgers this year, their big thing is going to be is the pitching going to hold up? Is it going to be healthy? Because they have not been healthy and like good, the starting pitching, like all year. So like as long as their pitchers are like upright in October, I think that's a plus, because they haven't been able to put together a four-man rotation in October, the last two Octobers. So, and that's cost them. So I think getting to do that would be like a huge plus. I think that's what they're looking for, like to end the season, I would imagine.
It's pretty close to where you're at with Atlanta too. I mean, Braves have a lot of options, but there's been stretches where they just did not pitch well. Coming out of the All-Star break, they went five straight starts, a trip through the rotation, and nobody got out of the fourth inning, which taxes a bullpen. That has kind of been up and down too. You know, I think last year, if anything, it's taught Braves fans that you just kind of got to hold your breath till you get there. I mean, they were, you know, they run down the Mets last year, used a ton of energy up, I think, getting there. And then Max Fried gets sick, and then and Spencer Strider gets hurt. And next thing you know, you run into the hottest team and in the National League, and you're done, you know, and that was kind of the way the Braves were in 2021. You know, the Phillies ran all the way to the World Series and very well could have won it. So, you know, it's just a different ball game, but I agree with you. I feel like if they go in to the postseason healthy, playing, you know, reasonably well, I don't know how much they'll rest guys down the stretch, but, you know, I think they'll be a tough out for anybody.
You're talking about rest. You know, obviously Freddie Freeman played his whole career in Atlanta before coming to LA, and like he's that same way, to where he fouled the ball off of his knee last homestand. I think it was the day before the finale of the homestand. I think it was a Saturday night, if I'm not mistaken, and to the point where he like came out of the game, and then I guess the next day, Dave Roberts said when he got into his office after the game, Freddie Freeman was sitting in Dave Roberts' chair in his office. He's like, "I'm playing tomorrow." So, and that's been the thing. Like, his deal is like, he's not going to sit until like the day after they clinch whatever. Like, and so that's pretty much like what he's been doing. And like, Like you mentioned with the Atlanta guys, like, it's working because he's been ridiculously good. But Yeah. I mean, so we'll talk. We have a lot. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I mean, I was going to say, I mean, it's kind of the culture with the Braves now. And I mean, you've seen Dansby Swanson. I know he's been injured a little bit, but he had the same, same type of attitude that he's going to play every day. And I know, I mean, I think last year, I think he kind of grated on a guy like Matt Olson, who prides himself on playing every day, and the Braves kind of gave him a day off or didn't start him. I think he came in late, and he kind of took off with the bat after, you know, after it. So this season's been interesting to watch, though, just how they've continued to hit with no off days, basically, and just going out there. But that was, I think Freddie, I really do think Freddie kind of defined that culture in Atlanta. It was like, yeah, I may be sore, I may be beat up a little bit, but I'm better than the next option. And he goes to, you know, he goes to the posts every day. And I think that's something that they've kind of, you know, they kept. It's lasted after he's gone.
Yeah, I think that's true. So we still have a lot to talk about. I'm going to take a break really quick, but before we do, I wanted to mention this. Fans First Sports Network is doing a giveaway this week. If you're an NFL fan, if you want to attend your favorite team's week one game, you're in luck, because Fans First Sports Network is giving away 4 free tickets to the week one NFL game of your choice for up to $5,000. The rules to enter are simple. Go to contest.fansfirstsports.com, fill out the appropriate information, and that's it. Once you've done that, you've officially registered to win the 4 free tickets to any week one NFL game. What are you waiting for? Go enter for your shot at seeing your favorite team in action. This contest ends on September 4th. And we'll be back a little bit after the break.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, so, you know, you talked about, like, Freddie Freeman setting the tone. I think that's been that way here to a point. Like, the Dodgers still are pretty aggressive with not – well, they'll make sure guys get rest, but to, like, Mookie Betts, for instance, he is to the point where he'll take an occasional day. He battled some injuries in, like, 2021. But he's been mostly healthy since then. But he'll take an occasional day. But the one thing he doesn't do is he doesn't want a DH. So, like, some guys, they'll do, like, a pseudo off day by putting him at DH. And well, it's been harder this year because the Dodgers have JD Martinez, although he's currently injured. But so having him every day, like, made it harder to do that kind of stuff. But when DH has been available, like Mookie Betts, like, no, I'm playing. But so we have all these like star players. Let's talk about some individual stuff. First of all, Ronald Acuña Jr. What a great season! But also, I only saw this from afar the other night. What in the hell happened at Coors Field? Like, how did that happen? Like, two guys coming on the field, like tackling him, like
one guy not bumped into him. I don't know if the intent was there. It was kind of like the security got there at the same time, but it ended with Ronald on the ground. I mean, that was scary. Yeah. I mean, you know, when you look at it, you know, I think they were, I don't think there was any ill intent with those people, but you know, it's just scary when you see fans make it all the way to the player on the field like that. Cause you know, I mean, what if it had been bad situation coming out of that, you know? So, you know, I don't know if they really ramped things up last night to make sure it didn't happen again or whatever, but that was a wild situation. And I mean, he hit his 29th home run in that game. I think he stole two bases and had four hits. So, I mean, it was a crazy, and then had that happen in the seventh inning. So, I mean, that was a crazy night.
So the funny part about this, that was Monday, I believe. And then like for Monday morning, I just sort of had because everyone seemed to be talking about it. Like Mookie Betts was like on fire. Well, he's been on fire like in August, but like, so I just sort of put up like a table with like Mookie Betts, Acuña, Freddie Freeman, and Matt Olson, who I'm pretty sure are going to, like, if I had to bet, I would bet those, they're going to finish in the top four in the NL MVP. But so I just put up like all their stats because it's pretty amazing, like how they're all doing. And I just put that, but I was sort of in the article, I wrote, you know, sort of teasing each person. And with Acuña, so at the time before this game in Colorado, it was 28 homers and 59 steals. And I edited myself out. I had written, he's one great game away from 30-60, the first 30-60 season in history. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, that's too much. And then he almost did it like that night. I was like, what in the hell? Like, but yeah, like all, I think we talked in May before the last Dodgers Braves series, and even then it was like, wait, he has how many steals? Like, how is this? Like, obviously the rules changes and stuff, but like, it's still a lot of steals. Like, even if it's just, it's like semi-inflated, he's still like leading the league as a you know, big power hitter, like big guy. Like, that's crazy. It's really good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a throwback almost. You know, I had we talked a lot about 40-40 before the season and Eric Davis and things, but I'm telling you, he's really reminded me more of Ricky Henderson this year. And I'm dating myself now from when I was growing up, but he's reminded me of that type of guy just because of how good his on base skills have been and how much damage he's done in the first inning. I mean, because if you walk him, you know, he's liable to be on third in two pitches later, you know, and has stolen bases at a pretty high rate, which I know the rule changes have helped that some, but I just think also it's an aggressive, I mean, if you looked at him last year, you know, he was still running. I mean, he wasn't healthy completely, but he was still, that was a part of his game that he had really progressed in from, you know, before his injury. So, I mean the Atlanta franchise record is 72 by Otis Nixon, and I think he's going to blow by that, or at least get that. We'll see how much they continue to let him, like if they get everything clinched, I don't know how much, if he'll just be running and taking off with abandon the way he has you know, lately. But you know, I mean, it is, I mean, I didn't think I'd ever see a Brave with 60 stolen bases again.
Yeah,
you know, it just, especially for a team that hits so many home runs, you know, but that has been an added part of his game that, you know, coming into the season, I would put it right up there next to his strikeout rate, because I mean, he was a 25% strikeout rate last year. He's at 12 this year, which is unbelievable. Oh,
that's wild. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, I mean, you knew how good he was, but you know, I didn't think, if you'd have told me he was going to hit 330, I'd like, I don't think so. I think he might hit 50 home runs, but I wouldn't have expected him. You know, I would have expected him to be hitting 270 and striking out about 25% of the time. So he's really kind of changed as a player, even from that, just missed that 40-40 season in 2019. But he's really evolved now to where, you know, he's a high on base guy. And if you can steal bases at the way he can, that's just really valuable.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, you talked about, like, didn't think you would see a Brave steal 60. I'm like in that same boat. Like I grew up in the 80s too. And, you know, there's so many like high steal totals and that kind of thing. But like, yeah, like, but also like, it's not just like you maybe not see a 60 steal person again, but like, the fact that it's Acuna, like the last major leaguer till 60 was D. Gordon. You figured be like that kind of a guy instead of like your like home run, you know, guy or whatever. But yeah, it's been a wild year. So yeah, like, you know, I'm in the same boat. Like Eric Davis, like had he stayed healthy, would have been so good. But like Ricky Henderson had the two, like the 2-20-80 years, which is just ridiculous. But like even so, Acuna now, I think this is right. Eric Davis has the most home runs for anyone with 50 steals. It's like 37, but Acuna's like probably gonna get there. And then Acuna has the most home runs for anyone with 60 steals now. But then like I think the other way is the most steals by someone with 30 homers was 51. So he only needs one more to do that. So like he's like both ends of it. He's just like, he's great. Like it's been a fun season to sort of watch.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we thought 40-40 was probably possible, but if you'd have told me 30-60, I'd like, man, that's one you don't talk about, but when you look it up and you see nobody's ever done it, you know, it's like, it's pretty wild. You know, it's pretty wild situation there with that. So, you know, I think it's one of those things, kind of like bets a little bit, because I, you know, until the Dodgers got on this run, I wasn't appreciating the season that Mookie Betts was having. And I know he's been scorching hot. And yeah. And I think it's kind of the same way with Acuna. You really, if you're not watching them every single day, you just don't see how they impact, you know, you see the homers and maybe the stolen bases, but you don't see just how much they impact, you know, everything that happens, you know, whether it's taking a walk or going first to third or scoring from first, you know, and a lot of times in Acuna's case. So, you know, I mean, it's two really dynamic players. And I mean, I've been kind of awed at Mookie, because I remember that him kind of struggling with the injuries a little bit, and it was like he hadn't really had that just huge season. But you know, here it is. I mean, it just, I'm sitting here looking at his stats right now, and I mean, 36 home runs. I had no idea he had 36 home runs. So
yeah, he hit his 36 on Tuesday night, and so that's his career high, which one more than he set last year. But again, like, it's August, right? Like, what are we doing? Like, it's wild. But he was having like an excellent season, I think, like around the All-Star break or whatever. Like he would have been, like, I think, had he just continued that, like a top three, like MVP guy anyway. Mm-hmm. But like, he's just been ridiculous. Like, just, okay. Oh, I think he's raised his, in August alone, he's raised his season batting average to 37 points. Like, that shouldn't happen. Like, that's crazy. But like OPS, it's like, I think 70 or 80 points, like, up. Like, he's been, and like, I look back, because I try to go back, until he had an 0-for-4 on Monday. So it sort of messed us up a little bit, but I was going back, how far could I go back to see if he's still hitting 400 or 500, and he was like 35-for-70 or something crazy. But then I looked, like, if you go, how far back can you go to 400? And like, dating back to like the last week of June, he's hitting over 400, like that, which is wild. Like, that, so we're 2 months of this, like, where he's just doing all. But I think the key, like you mentioned, the everyday stuff, with Mookie this year is that he's like a gold glove right fielder, like just, you know, excellent defensive right fielder. But this year he's been like playing second base, like, and playing second base well. Like, the Dodgers tried Miguel Vargas at the beginning of the year. They were sort of counting on rookies. Like, they had James Outman in center and Miguel Vargas at second. Miguel Vargas ended up getting optioned at the All-Star break, and he hasn't been back since. And so Mookie was like mixing in a little second before that, but like since then he's played more second than outfield, and he played some short even earlier in the year too. Like, I don't expect him to do that a ton, but like basically what they do now because of the mix and match stuff is anytime there's a right-hander on the mound, Betts will start at second. That allows them to start three left-handed outfielders. James Outman pretty much starts every day anyway in center. And then it's Jason Hayward, who's also having a great comeback year. And then David Peralta. And then they'll just pinch hit like later in the game or whatever, like for those guys. And I think I haven't looked, but like if you most of the games Mookie Betts starts at second base, he'll probably end the game in right field because of the way they, you know, maneuver. But just having the ability to do that, like usually when it's a utility guy, it's like, you know, maybe like your fifth or sixth best player or hitter or whatever. He's like their best player and he's doing this. Right. It's wild. Like again, it's like one of those where I had sort of written off like, because before every time he was like, they were just sort of indulging him, playing him at second. Like, he likes doing this. That's fine. But then like, oh no, he's really good. Like, I did not expect this at all. Like, he's been just incredible. So yeah, it's pretty wild.
Yeah, just that type of athlete. You know, I mean, that's the thing about him. I mean, you could probably drop him in. I know he's a basketball player too, but you could probably drop him into any sport and he could do it. You know, it's no problem. But yeah, it's been, you know, he's been amazing to watch in the second half, and I don't think it's any coincidence that, you know, that's at about the point where the Dodgers just retook that. They let everybody hang around for a little while, and then they just kind of blew everybody away in that division, you know. Because, I mean, there was a point early on you wondered, man, this is going to be a race all the way to the end, maybe with the Giants and the Diamondbacks. And, you know, but I think it just seeing how they came out of the break, they just reestablished themselves, you know, as that premier team that we kind of figured they probably were.
Yeah, that was a thing too. Like, well, also before the season, like I picked the Padres to win the division, right? Like, and even when in that early part of the year where it was like Arizona was sort of doing really well, they were even in first for a while. Giants were hanging around. Dodgers were obviously there. But you're like, well, San Diego's going to figure it out at some point. Like, they haven't even gotten back to 500 since like it's like May 12th or something crazy. And like they're 0-11 in extra inning games, the Padres are, which seems impossible. They're 6-21 in one run games. Like what can you do at that point? Like, you're just they seem to be cursed almost. But like, it's wild. But like you say, yeah, the Dodgers are like sort of running away with the division at this point. But like, yeah, I expected it to be a lot different than that.
Well, I mean, you can look
about. Oh yeah,
go ahead. I mean, you can look at the Mets. You know, from that standpoint, I mean, I think it just shows that you need to build team. I mean, you can't necessarily buy a winner, and I think this past offseason showed that. You know, it's important to have homegrown players and be able to supplement them with free agents. But I also think that culture is very important too. You know, and I think that's the biggest question in San Diego is kind of that clubhouse, and, you know, cause it just doesn't feel like the parts have fit. And then, you know, the Mets, it was kind of everything went great for them last year until it didn't. And at the end, and then it wasn't like they played bad. The Braves just played better down the stretch. And then this year, you know, for whatever reason, I mean, it just fell apart. It fell apart early. You know, so, you know, I think there's something to be learned when you look at these Braves and these Dodgers rosters and kind of see, you know, we're you know, there's free agents there, there's big money free agents there, but there's a lot of homegrown talent, and there's still a lot of emphasis put on the minor league system and player development and all of that.
Yeah, and you're right about the culture too. Like the biggest criticism, at least on Twitter and probably in our comment section about like Dave Roberts is like, you know, some like usually it's like bullpen moves or whatever. But for the most part, like he seems like a very popular manager, like with the players, and like seems, and you look at other stuff that comes out, like seems like every other day there's like a Padres story about like we something's wrong, we got to fix this. And it's like that doesn't happen a ton with the Dodgers, at least that I've seen. And like same with the Braves, like they're the thing with the Padres that I sort of I think overlooked was I assume because like they signed Bogarts and like they were getting Tatis back, it looked like their lineup was going to be so good. But like I guess I overlooked how little depth they had beyond like the starters, and like there was just no one to back any of those guys up. And like we've seen with like you, with the Braves, like pulling guys up and using whoever, and then the Dodgers too, like you need like a lot of those other guys, and like they haven't found any of them. Like that's been a huge thing.
Yeah, I mean, the Braves have pulled up, you know, I think Braves minor league depth has taken a hit. You know, some of it's, you know, you can go back to the international signing infractions. You know, none of those guys that they lost, it really ended up working out. But at the same time, you know, you couldn't sign guys for a lot of years there. But the minor league system, they're trying to rebuild it. But it does seem, I mean, they've called up, I don't know, I don't have a count of how many pitchers have made starts. They've got another guy tonight making his major league debut. None of those guys have pitched well enough to take the spot.
Yeah.
But, and I think it's something that gets lost on fans, but they have logged a ton of innings. And when you lose two guys, that's really, really important, you know. And those guys have been able to go out there and give them starts. Sometimes it wasn't great, but other times it was. It was good enough. And with this offense, you know, they've been able to get by with that. And then, you know, when you get to the postseason, you don't really have to worry about that fifth starter anymore. You can just kind of, you can kind of go with it with what you've got, as long as those guys are healthy. So, you know, that, I think that is an important point that you was making there. You know, when you look at that, but again, it goes to, you know, you can't sign minor. Well, I guess you can, but you know, that minor league depth is important, that those people that can come up and then go back down when they need to. I think if there's a criticism for this Braves roster right now, the bullpen, nobody out there has options. And that's bit them a little bit at times where they haven't been able to.
Oh, wow.
They haven't been able to make a move. They've got a couple of guys getting ready to come back from the injured list now. You know, and they're going to have to make some hard decisions coming down the stretch. So that's something that we're kind of watching.
Yeah, the Dodgers are sort of, they're in a weird spot with the bullpen that, like, Joe Kelly, like, they need another right-hander, I think, at this point in the bullpen. Like, the current bullpen, well, they just called up, well, Tyson Miller, who was, like, one of these, like, he's pitched for three teams this year. The Dodgers, two separate occasions, because they lost him on waivers to the Mets, and they just claimed him back. But, like, I don't know if he's that the guy, like he, as far as he could be like designated for assignment today, cause they have to call up Ryan Pepio, but like, I don't know, but like Joe Kelly, Yency Almonte, they were sort of like counting on those to a point. They're both on the injured list, probably not going to be back until like a week or two from now. And then I think Shelby Miller might be back on Friday. But that's when, like, he's on the 60-day IL with, he had like a nerve thing in his neck. So I think they're just waiting till rosters expand to call him up. But there's like nobody else. Like, everyone else of all the healthy pitchers, they have a couple starters. Like Gavin Stone made a spot start or spot bulk appearance on Sunday in Boston, and then Emmett Sheehan's still down there, but like, it's really, and then the sort of a long, later September maybes are like Blake Treinen, who's on a rehab assignment, he had shoulder surgery, hasn't pitched all year. He's like a long shot. It's not really looking too sharp in AAA. Walker Buehler is like the big wild card. he probably could be on a rehab assignment by next week. But even then, you're looking at like mid-September, a possible return. And even then, like, is he going to start or is he going to run out of time? So he'll be something. But like, they're in a bit of a weird spot because in theory they could end up with like Ryan Pepiot, I mentioned, for example. He could end up being like a guy who's like on the playoff roster as like a short reliever or whatever. And then that just adds to it because like, the other thing too, with the NLDS this year, they have the off day in between game one and two in the NLDS. So you could get by in the division series with just three starters. And then like, so you could really like maneuver however you want, but like, That's gonna be something. I think that's the thing to watch is like, which of the injured guys are gonna like come back down the stretch and sort of help, because that's what they're gonna look for.
Yeah, the Braves. I mean, injured guys that are coming back. JC Chavez has been out for I don't know how long, and I mean, it's kind of weird when you mention JC Chavez, but go look at his numbers. I mean, he gave them a huge lift in the bullpen early on, got hit in a leg by a line drive off from Miguel Cabrera, and just wasn't getting better. And they come to find out he had a microfracture in there, but it's already healed. He should be going on a rehab assignment soon. Dylan Lee, another lefty reliever, started a World Series game in 2021 as an opener. He's had shoulder issue. I think he's coming back September 1st. But Kyle Wright is kind of like Walker Buehler for you guys. I mean, he's making his second rehab assignment tonight. You know, I don't know if he's going to have enough time to really build up and be in the rotation when the postseason starts. But I've thought, you know, it may be a situation where he doesn't make the division series roster, but he goes to the AAA site and continues to pitch. And then you may have him for the league championships. The LCS, you know, if you advance or whatnot. So, you know, those guys can keep going in a lot of those situations. So, but the Braves, I think the biggest thing for them, you know, Nick Anderson's another guy. He was good early out of the bullpen and he's on the 60-day. So, you know, we're looking at midway through September for him too. So, you know, a lot of guys coming back, but they're going to have to do some 40-man gymnastics really to fit all these guys back in as they get healthy.
Yeah, I think that's where the Dodgers are at too. Shelby Miller is probably the most immediate, and even that, it's like whatever. But he's on the 60-day. Walker Buehler's on the 60-day. They have a couple like moves they could do to like clear spots, but it's beyond that. Like then it's like if Trinan's healthy, like he's on the 60. You know, like you have to do like these other moves. But like it's to the point where it's almost all that. In that creative season where the Dodgers have another minor league outfielder, Andy Páez, who he like separated his shoulder in May. He's on the 40 man, but like he's, you know, just on, they could at some point in September or whatever, like if they need another, they could call him up and then just put him on the 60 day. So he gets like a major league paycheck and service time for like a couple weeks or whatever, but they haven't resorted to that just yet. But you mentioned, speaking of like injured pitchers, it seems like I didn't realize Max Fried has been back as long as he has been, but he's been pretty good, right? Like in August, like looking all right.
Yeah, he's you know, he's rounding into shape. I think he was, you know, he was admittedly rusty at the first start in Chicago. He goes out there and strikes out eight, and I think throws six scoreless innings. You know, and everybody gets excited, and then he didn't make it out of the fourth the second time out. So, you know, I'm confident with him. He's at least coming out of that healthy and feeling good. You know, I think another month's worth of starts, and you know, hopefully he'll be where he's at. We're ready for the postseason, and then you know, and I think that's the thing. You know, he's going to have a fresh arm because he doesn't have a ton of mileage on him, you know, this season just because of that injury.
So before we go, we sort of maybe did a little short shrift. We talked a lot about Freddie Freeman, but let's make some predictions. So Matt Olson, was he at 43 home runs right now?
43.
Okay.
No.
What's his final total for home runs, do you think?
Oh, man. I mean, he was so hot. The franchise record's 51. by Andrew Jones in 2005. And it looked like he was so hot coming into August that it looked like he was going to hit 51 by the end of the month. You know, and if I'm not mistaken, he is in the longest homer drought of the season for himself right now. But, I mean, he's still hitting. You know, he's still getting on base and everything. And, you know, I was surprised. I kind of thought Coors Field might be the cure-all for him to get back on track. But he hasn't homered yet in the first two games. But, you know, I think he breaks Andrew's record. I think because the thing about him, when he starts hitting, when he hits one out, you know, he gets really hot, it seems like, and gets really consistent with it. But I'll say somewhere around 53. I think he can hit 10 more. I don't know, though. I mean, we're getting almost to center September here. I better just say he's going to hit 52 and break that break Andrew's record. So
yeah, that's pretty solid. So I will say, so should face Lance Lynn in the first game at Dodger Stadium. So Lance Lynn has been like just really turned things around. He's been great with the Dodgers. He's allowed 9 total runs in his 5 starts, but 7 earned runs. But my favorite, all the earned runs are on home runs, 6 home runs.
I
saw that. 5 solos. And so like, if you're, and he's, I think he still leads the majors with 34 home runs allowed. So that's a combo where, you know, Olsen could get one off of him at least. So
yeah,
another milestone. So Freddie Freeman, he,
go ahead. No, you're good.
Oh, sorry. So Freeman on, I forget which day, I think it was Sunday, he broke the LA Dodgers doubles record. He already has 50. They had one guy in Brooklyn, Johnny Frederick, funnily enough. So it's Frederick versus Frederick at this point. He had 52 in 1929, but also like that era, like 29 to like mid 30s or whatever in the National League was like the best offensive era ever. Like if you were any kind of a hitter, you're basically like hitting 400. Like, he's going to break that too, but he could hit 60 doubles, which nobody's done since 1936, which like, it's crazy. Like, and he, you know, you've seen it too. Like Freeman hits them in bunches. Like he's, I think he has 15 in August. He had 17 in May, which was like a team record. So like, I think he's going to get to 60 doubles. I think he's going to hit 60 on the dot, which would be like the first time since what, 1936. But that could be something. But so I'm sort of expecting that. But yeah, are we missing anything about the series?
We already talked about Acuna. I mean, I'm penciling in Freddie for 4 doubles in the series. I mean, I think that's a safe bet. I love watching Freddie. I've been impressed by him just because he put together those last few years in Atlanta were great. I mean, he really went up another level because when I first started covering the Braves, there was this discussion. He was probably outside the Hall of Fame. You know, at that point, he had had a bunch of good seasons, but no great seasons. You know, he won MVP, but it was in 2020, which a lot of people probably put an asterisk on a little bit. But it seems like he's gone to a different level. With you guys too, and I don't know if it's a change of philosophy or just ballparks or what, but you know, he was always a great hitter, but you know, to see him hitting 330, 335, even chasing batting titles and all with the power that he's got, you know, it's just it's been fun to watch.
Yeah, I get that's kind of the outside thing too, is that Luis Arraez was just like sort of running away with the batting title early, but Freeman's like within striking distance there. Like, I guess it would take like a rise would still have to come down. Like I don't expect Freeman to like get up to like 350 or whatever, but like, you know, if it comes down a little bit, he's got a shot at that, even like the batting title. You're right though. Like I was trying to think about this. I'm fairly certain that Freeman is the best hitter the Dodgers have ever signed as a free agent. Like, pretty easily, like at this point. Like I know it's only 2 years in, but he's so good. Like it's crazy. Like, and then couple that with, I know they traded for Mookie Betts. And like, there was some discussion on Dodgers Twitter the other day, and I think I sort of agree with this. Mookie Betts is probably the best position player I've ever seen on the Dodgers. Like, and they, you know, like they, it's kind of crazy that they have both of those guys. And like, I think that's been sort of the driving force there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's right up there to when you guys get Ohtani next year. So,
that's the funny part. We were talking the other day. Tony Gonsolin is having Tommy John surgery. He's going to be out all year. Dustin May had flexor tendon surgery. He's not going to be back till the mid part of the year. And then, Walker Buehler is going to be back. Julio Urias is free agent. Clayton Kershaw is free agent. Could return, could go to Texas, could retire. It's a little up in the air. Don't know how his shoulder's feeling. But then they're like, oh, yeah, and Ohtani's also going to miss the year. It's like, well, he hasn't signed yet. You know, like, there's just like this weird assumption that the Dodgers are the favorites. I mean, they probably still are, but that's one of those, like, I'm trying to think as little as possible about that until we're in that moment. Like, I'm not in that headspace yet, so.
Yeah. Yeah, we've still got a long way to go before we get to that. I'm sure we can talk about that later on, but I had to get that in there.
No, that's pretty good. Well, I'm looking forward to a good series. Chris, thank you for doing this. This has been fun. Where can people read your work? Where can they follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Chris with a K _ Willis and BatteryPower.com. We've got a podcast that we're doing there. But that's, you can find everything I do there as well.
That's great. This has been the 3-Inning Save Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Steven. We'll be back with you again with our regular episode in a few days. And then I'm sure we'll have Chris back on again because when we preview the NLCS, because that's going to happen this year.
It's got to this time. I mean, we got robbed last year, you know, so it's got to happen this time.
Three out of four. You got to have the the rubber match, right? Like we already had
like Kenley Jansen versus Freddie Freeman scripted for game seven. You know, it was supposed to happen. You know, I'm still shocked that it did.
I'm still holding out hope that the Braves reacquire Charlie Culberson and he makes it onto the playoff roster somehow because he's a Dodger legend as well. So
yeah,
anyway,
well,
thanks for yeah.
Yeah. No, he's at Gwinnett, so it's still in play. He's at AAA for him, so it's still there.
I think it's going to happen. Well, thanks again, Chris, and we'll see you again soon.